Maine's tourism industry ready for this summer? The COVID pandemic hit Maine's tourist destinations especially hard, from inns to restaurants, water parks to museums. Now, with restrictions loosened, it appears that a rebound is underway. Many hotels are booked solid for July and August, and already there's a sense of more cars on the road, more boats on the lakes, and more people on hiking trails and at beaches. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will hear from those inside the tourism industry about what they expect this summer, and we'll discuss how they are addressing concerns, especially around COVID safety and staffing. Do you work in the tourism industry? What are your thoughts as we launch into this unprecedented tourism season? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. It feels like things are getting back to normal when the tourists start filling up the highways, parks, and beaches. Today, we're going to find out how tourism in Maine fared during the pandemic and how this coming summer is shaping up. My guest, Carrie Tripp, she is Executive Director of the Greater Bangor Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Matt Lewis, President and CEO of Hospitality Maine. We invite your comments and questions. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page or to Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Today's show is part of a series we are doing on Maine's evolving economy. This week, we're exploring how the pandemic has affected Maine's economic outlook. And of course, a huge part of Maine's economy is its tourism industry. Matt, there is definitely an optimism in the air as people are getting out and about. What are you seeing in the hospitality industry right now in terms of places reopening and tourists coming?
Well, Jennifer, thank you for having me back. I don't think there's any question that tourism is looking very strong. Before we talk about that, though, I think we need to thank the people that were involved in getting the vaccinations. And that's obviously had a huge part in why Maine is expecting a huge summer again. And also to the governor and just the fact that they have reopened Maine allows for much of this conversation. So I think that needs to be put out there first. But we have hotels and that are telling us they are booked through the summer, well into the fall. But I also would say there are hotels and restaurants that would certainly welcome visitors still to Maine. So we want to put that message out across as well.
You wanted to thank people who came up with the vaccinations, distributed the vaccinations, and got vaccinated. Do you believe that Maine's high rate of vaccination makes it more attractive to tourists than other places this summer?
I think it goes in line with a feeling that Maine is a safer state because of that. We talked about this last time I was on, about the outdoor activities and the outdoor opportunities, the hiking and the kayaking and that sort of thing. But I think that the vaccinations, I want to make it very clear that Hospitality Maine is indeed very supportive of hospitality workers being vaccinated. That's not something that we can mandate, but we, for those hospitality workers, Jennifer, that are not vaccinated, we would ask them to consider that. And we have also helped arrange vaccination clinics specifically for hospitality workers in the last few weeks to address that issue.
All right. And one more question for you, Matt, before I turn to Carrie. Are there kinds of businesses that were particularly hard hit by the pandemic within the tourism industry and that will be the slowest to come back? Obviously, many restaurants closed. Is it the restaurant sector, or is there another part of a subset of the tourism industry that you're still concerned about?
Well, I would just say anecdotally that we, Hospitality Maine, is getting a lot of new membership from restaurants. So we would recognize that as restaurants sort of making their way out of last year's difficulty. I think hotels really struggled because in some cases they were not allowed to have guests for a while. Certainly in other states that was the case. But I think the sort of subset of tourism, performing art, the performing arts centers were devastated. And I think that those, the entertainment centers and performing arts centers were, I wouldn't be surprised to see additional requests for emergency funding for that type of environment.
Sure, and we've already seen some, I'm thinking of Port City Music Hall, close.
Correct. Yeah.
Turning you to you, Carrie, what can you tell us about the Bangor region specifically? How much of an impact did the pandemic have on tourism in the past year, and who was the hardest hit?
So I'll echo what Matt says. The live venues for us are the hardest hit. We've got the Cross Insurance Center, Waterfront Concerts, Penobscot Theater, the Collins Center for the Arts. All of these, really, they ceased operations, right? We were lucky here, the Cross Insurance Center pivoted to be the kind of the mass vaccination area for us, or the, you know, the facility, and that worked out really super well in this region. But you know, the beginning of the pandemic, this region was hit just as hard as everyone else. The hotels, the restaurants, places were closed. Bangor itself hasn't seen quite the number of restaurant closures as other places have. We've been very lucky that way. I think Bangor has a different sitting because we are more of a service center, right? So we do really well with tourism and hospitality, but we also have that component, that service center. So we've got the hospitalities. We have the trucks that are going back and forth in through the country that use this as a stop to spend the night. So we were able to maintain a little bit of business as we continued through.
So let me stop you there. So tourists to the Bangor region aren't often destination tourists, but rather people who come through regularly.
Well, the business side of it is what comes through. The tourism, we definitely do have destination tourism here. And then we also are positioned as kind of that hub and spoke for visitation when you're in this region. And by that, I mean going down to Acadia, going up to Millinocket, going out to Greenville. People use us as a base and then continue to go around from there. But then when you look at the facilities around us, Millinocket and Greenville, last summer had the best summers they've ever had, because people thought and assumed correctly they were safe. They could be outside. They didn't have to be in with large groups of people. They were able to be safe and secure and in a remote, what they considered remote area. And so those regions really had a phenomenal summer, all things considered.
You named the performing arts venues in the Bangor region really well known, attracting top acts. Carrie, what about this summer? Are we going to see waterfront concerts, for example?
I believe we're going to see a couple of concerts happen at the end of the summer season. As of right now, they are on the books. We believe are happening. So that's really exciting. The Cross Insurance Center actually is coming back first, believe it or not. The last show they did in 2020 was the Professional Bull Riders. The first show they'll do in July of this year is the Professional Bull Riders, right? So it kind of just comes all full circle. It's pretty fun, actually.
Matt, do you think Memorial Day was, I mean, we always say Memorial Day weekend is the start of the main tourism season, but this year, was that the turning point? Because the COVID restrictions lifted sort of a few days before that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think people living in Maine can sort of tell that the traffic had picked up before Memorial Day, definitely on the freeways. So I think it may have started before that. But Memorial Day was a busy weekend. I was out of town, but I understand the weather was not particularly the best. But yes, I know hotels were very busy, and that's always good to see. We can definitely see daily rates going up in hotels. And yeah, the Memorial Day is sort of the traditional start of the summer season. So guess is that it started well before that.
That did seem kind of like a cruel joke to have had all those days of spectacular weather and then a rainy Memorial Day weekend. I want to ask you some predictions, Matt. Do you expect this summer tourism season will actually surpass pre-pandemic levels with the pent-up energy for travel?
It very well may. I think that we will see certainly hotels and resorts that are looking at numbers at pre-pandemic level. Whether we can say it will be statewide, I think that remains a question. But from people that I'm speaking with, they are expecting not just the summer, Jennifer, but some places into the fall. They're already seeing high bookings. So that, I think that's a good thing.
Carrie, let me ask you this. The Canadian border is still closed. How much of an impact does that have on the tourism season here in Maine?
Yeah, it definitely has an impact, right? You know, there's rumors and, you know, we're all hearing these rumors that there's a potential of it maybe looking like July. I have trouble getting my hopes up, right? I've been in this position a couple of times now, kind of go up and down, right? As we're getting our hopes up, thinking it's going to happen. The one thing I will say, we lost Canadian tourism completely last year, right? But we kind of made up for it with Mainers traveling within Maine, right? So we had, especially in my region, a lot of folks from Southern Maine who had never experienced Greenville, had never experienced Katahdin, and they made week-long trips to come to this region and explore. So it was, we had this resurgence of learning about your own state that was really a lot of fun. Do I think it's always going to be that way to make up for the Canadian tourism? No, I think we need it back. They are our number one international visitor. And we kind of forget that they are an international visitor, right? They're our cousins across the border, our brothers and sisters, right? The hope for this summer for me, for this region, is we really want to see them be able to come back. And I think we'll see some great numbers when that border finally opens.
Sure. And speaking of international visitors, Matt, the kinds of international travel restrictions that are underway right now, how do those affect people coming from Europe, Japan, et cetera?
I mean, it certainly is affecting travel to Maine. And I, just as an example, Memorial Day weekend, I went for a short trip to Iceland. And I had, even though I was double vaccinated, I had to be tested twice, once at the airport on arrival, and then on my own go to this location to be tested, and then had to show those results coming back to the United States. So I think that while there, I definitely saw travelers there, I think that it does cause some people not to go internationally still. And that is definitely happening with international travelers to the U.S. In fact, I think it's very limited with people that can get into the U.S. right now. So that's having a dramatic impact. But I would certainly echo Carrie's thoughts about Canadian travelers. I mean, I can imagine the Canadian economy is just devastated from so few travelers so far this year. And I'm hearing different things as well. Possibly June 22nd as a date where the Prime Minister may open Canada, but there, it sounds like there would still be precautions with that as well. So that all is affecting travel to the state.
Okay, Carrie, it looked to me like you wanted to jump in there.
Oh no, I was crossing my fingers when Matt said June, right? Because that would be really exciting for all of us. I also think that something else that's happening, I think Southern Maine saw this a little bit more than my region did, but I know folks who run hotels and do my job down there, and they were talking about folks from, use New York City as the example, who traditionally travel overseas for their vacations, coming to Maine and staying in resorts for the first time ever. And it was a great new visitor to our state. And those folks, some of them rebooked for this summer already.
So I'm also wondering if we saw that for winter tourism, whether it's snowmobiling or skiing or things like that. Did we see a different mix of tourists this past winter than we would have in previous years?
I think we did. So snowmobiling was good only for a section of the winter, right? We really needed a little more snow for that to be phenomenal. But we definitely saw a mix of folks. And I know in my office, we field calls all day, every day. And we're fielding calls about how can we safely travel to your state? What's your vaccination rate? That's a common question right now when visitors are calling. And they're talking about how to experience the state for the first time. So I think it really does all four seasons. It's really kind of being very, people are looking at the United States and travel in a different way by staying in the United States and traveling, which is good for all of us.
And Matt, what would you add to that? What can you tell us about what this past season looked like?
I don't want to speak for the you know, the winter sports type element, you know, effort. But I understand that compared to other New England states, our actual tourism was down for winter sports. And I think the weather did have something to do with that. So I know that all of hospitality team is going to be working to try to drive up those numbers. But I understand, you know, we have some room to grow in that area for sure.
So I can't have this conversation without talking about staffing. We are doing an entire Maine Calling program tomorrow about this topic, because it doesn't just affect the tourism industry, but I know that hotels and restaurants throughout the state, I see you both nodding, are having a hard time finding enough employees. And Carrie, I'll start with you. How big of an impact is this going to be? Our venues, our restaurants, our inns, making choices like I'm not opening half of my rooms, or I'm not opening 6 days a week like I usually do because of the staffing shortages.
We definitely are seeing that. I think around us on the coast is seeing it a little bit more than Bangor itself. But I can tell you in Millinocket, for example, the restaurants up there are consciously making decisions closing on certain days, so that way there's other restaurants that are open on those days. So they're not everyone is closing on Sunday, for example, right? There's always something open, but they're open shorter hours. So it is definitely impacting. We have a couple of facilities that have never been closed as a restaurant that is attached to a hotel that are closing a couple of days a week. And it is specifically and only because of not being able to find staff.
Kind of and scary. Matt, what about you? What are you hearing from your members, and how would you characterize this part of the issue, this staffing issue this year?
Well, Jennifer, in the last couple months, there has not been one member of ours, restaurant, hotel, what have you, that has not mentioned staffing as a critical issue for them and their teams. As we move forward and as we develop strategy for future years, I think there have to be conversations about housing, about childcare, about transportation, because I think if you look online and you look at attracting new talent and new workers to Maine, to not have housing a part of that conversation is detrimental.
Yeah, and not a problem that's the way the housing market is going, not a problem that's going to reverse itself anytime soon. We are talking about tourism in Maine. We're talking about the upcoming season and also the season that just passed. We'd love to hear from you. One, if you're planning to travel around Maine because of the pandemic, maybe you were in another year, you would have gone somewhere else, or are you involved in an industry, a business that caters to tourists? Do you have a food truck, or do you work at a restaurant or a hotel? Tell us what your experience is. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org or find us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Murray Plum & Murray's Estate Planning Group, helping to protect family properties and legacies. Learn more at mpmlaw.com. By Cape Integrative Health, committed to working with Medicare patients to beat chronic lower back pain with acupuncture. Learn more at capeintegrativehealth.com. And by the Finance Authority of Maine, providing financial solutions that help Maine people achieve their business and higher educational goals. FameMaine.com. There'll be a Maine CDC briefing with Dr. Shaw this afternoon at 2. The briefings are now on a once-a-week schedule on Wednesdays. Tune in to Maine Public Radio, Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, or the Maine Public Facebook page at 2 this afternoon for the live update. The CDC briefings are also archived on our website for later on-demand viewing. Once again, the Maine CDC briefing on the coronavirus will be heard once each week on Wednesdays, today at 2, on Maine Public Radio, Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and on Facebook. Maine Public is pleased to be a media sponsor of the Portland Bach Experience, a 10-day festival of innovative programs, from full orchestral events to outdoor performances. The concerts will be performed live at venues throughout the Mid-Coast and Southern Maine from June 11th through the 20th and include both in-person and virtual viewing options. Maine Public members are eligible for 15% off tickets. For details on the Portland Bach Experience and the Maine Public member discount, please visit mainepublic.org. and click on Events.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we're talking about the tourism industry in Maine, how it's doing, especially as the state opens up for the summer. Joining me, Matt Lewis, a president and CEO of Hospitality Maine. Carrie Tripp, executive director of the Greater Bangor. That's hard to say, Carrie. Greater Bangor Sorry. Convention and Visitors Bureau. Doesn't look like it'd be hard when you look at it on type. Share your comments and questions via email, talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page or to Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Carrie, I know you wanted to pick up on what we were saying before about so many places being short-staffed. And the bottom line is, people might want to not exactly expect the service they're used to.
Well, not necessarily the service, but the wait times are going to be longer, right? Restaurants are closed a little bit earlier. A lot of them are still kind of picking up their hours. If you recall, for a long time, they had to be closed by a certain time. In Bangor, it was 9 o'clock. We've relaxed that and they're starting to pick back up hours, but no one really is open late like they used to be. Lines are a little bit longer. I often tell people, be patient and kind, because the frontline workers, the hospitality workers that are out there that are employed, are working so super hard right now. And their job is to smile and be thoughtful and be kind to everyone. And so I just like to remind people to have patience and be thoughtful and kind of all those frontline workers, because they really are just, boy, they never shut down. Hotels never stopped working. Like, they have been in the thick of it for so long. And I think we forget that. So that's my plea to people. I know it's kind of cheesy, but it's my plea to people.
Calling in now, Corey Hutchinson, who is general manager at Funtown Splashtown USA. Thanks for calling in, Corey.
Thanks so much for having me, Jennifer.
You've had a couple days in which I suspect you were very popular.
Yeah, we were pretty popular, but unfortunately not as popular as you might think, considering the water park was not open this past weekend.
Oh, no, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, the water park never opens till the third weekend in June, and obviously we don't get a lot of 90-degree temperatures in early June, so we got to wait a couple more weeks. June 19th, we'll be fully up and running.
Oh, goodness. Well, I was going to ask you about the plans. So, you know, Funtown, Splashtown. So the Funtown part is open now, but Splashtown not open for a couple weeks. Tell me how you're doing it. How are you modifying guidelines for COVID safety?
Sure. I mean, as far as COVID safety, we spent a lot of time, preparing for this. Plexiglass, masks, hand sanitizers, getting ready literally to spray all of our blue dots on the ground for our social distancing. And right before we were ready to go and do all that, you know, we've followed the CDC guidelines along with what the decisions made in Augusta. And they came out and said, hey, social distancing outside is gone away. Masks outside are gone away. So that really changed a lot of stuff for us. And we kind of had to shift on the fly. So at this point, the masks, we're asking people that are non-vaccinated, you know, to be wearing their masks, particularly inside of any attractions such as the Astrosphere, which is an indoor ride, or, you know, the gift shops and things along those lines. But as far as our capacity limits, where we thought we were going to be drawing back a little bit, we are open 100% capacity, doing a lot of hand sanitizers all over the park, hitting some of those high touch points a little bit more often than we did in the past. Although we kind of pride ourselves on being a really clean place, we even are ramping that up by having a little bit more staffing put in our cleaning team. So those are kind of where we are right now as far as, you know, the COVID-19 guidelines and what we're doing.
We were talking about staffing before the break. Are you having issues finding enough staff?
Yeah, absolutely. Massive issues. For the first time in almost 60-year existence of the park, we'll only be open 5 days a week right now. We'll be closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, and that is a direct correlation of not having the staffing. We feel for everybody up and down the coast, Southern Maine, and this is obviously all across the country, right? I mean, that this is an issue. We being one of the largest, if not the largest seasonal employer in a normal season, we're looking to hire somewhere between 500 and 600 seasonal staff. So as you might guess, that's really had a major impact for us. So we've drawn our hours back a little bit. We won't be open as late in the evening, and we're closing those 2 days of the week with the thought being, hey, let's try to get, you know, a 5-day, 40 to 45 hour work week here where we can staff the entire place up fully the way that we need. If something changes for us, then, you know, certainly nobody would be happier than us to be open on Monday and Tuesday or even one of those days. But for right now, we're really focusing on being open for those 5 days and being open the way that we want, which means providing enough help that we're running a safe establishment.
I can imagine. Corey, I know that you were closed last summer. Do you think you're going to be able to make up for that this summer?
No, you're never going to make up for being closed. I mean, even in the summertime when we're only open about 100 days or scheduled for 100 days, we always say that a rainout, for example, where you miss a full day, you're never going to recoup that 100%. Maybe 60 or 70% of those people say, hey, it rained on the day we thought we were going to go. Let's go tomorrow instead. But you're never going to have 100%. So certainly being closed for an entire summer, it's literally impossible to make that money up. Unfortunately, we wish we could. And we do anticipate being very busy this year. We know people are ready to get outside. We know tourism's going to start flowing, hopefully, a little bit better this summer. So we anticipate being busy. But no, unfortunately, you're never going to make up for that lost time.
Yeah. And were there ever any questions that you would reopen? Did you always say we're in this for the long haul? Or at some point did you say, gosh, I'm not sure?
No, 100%. This is a family-owned business, has been for the 60 years of its existence. We certainly knew that we had the local support. And it's a very traditional, you know, atmosphere, right? I mean, whether you're local or whether you're someone who comes and stays at one of the hotels or motels or campgrounds, a lot of people have us marked on their calendar as one of the days on their vacation or one of the days in the summer, at least, they're going to come and visit Funtown Splash Town. So we always knew that as long as, you know, things progress nicely, which fortunately they have as far as vaccinations and numbers dropping, that we'd be all set and ready to go for 2021. 2020 just happened a little bit too quick for us, and the timing wasn't good. February and March, things started to kind of blow up, and we were supposed to be opening in May, and we just felt like we didn't have enough information about the virus itself for a place that invites mostly families with young children, lots of grandparents. We just felt like it wasn't the right time or environment for us to say, hey, you know, let's try to change some protocols on the fly. Let's see what happens. We just felt that the virus was, you know, potentially far too dangerous for us to pull something like that. So we made the very difficult decision to be down for the summer and just started preparing immediately for the what ifs coming down the road for 21.
Well, Corey, I really appreciate you calling in. Good luck this summer. Corey Hutchinson, General Manager with Funtown Splash Town in Saco. We're going to go now to Sharon, who's calling from California. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss Maine calling. We have two Airbnb and VRBO lodgings in the Midcoast region in Damariscotta, in South Bristol, and we lost everything in the first few months of the year, especially in our Damariscotta one. But all of a sudden, people started calling us and saying, we feel safe in Maine. Maine is a friendly place. You know, there are things for us to do. We can hike the trails. We can walk the beaches. And it ended up that last year surpassed the year before, and we're already booked through to the end of October and into November for Damariscotta. So, you know, the fact is that we're small town atmosphere. We had a lot of people from New York and from Connecticut and from New Hampshire and Vermont and California and North Dakota. You know, we just had people from all over America, not our normal Canadian visitors, but wonderful people. We followed all the guidelines. We had everybody fill out all the forms that we had to do, and they got their vaccinations and everything. And they're coming back again. They fell in love with Maine, so, you know, all the precautions we're taking, it's still opening more doors for Maine, I believe.
Well, Sharon, thank you so much for calling and sharing your experience and you know, confirming that people are choosing Maine for specific reasons. Thank you so much. Sharon calling from California also owns a couple Airbnb rentals. We're going to move now to Aroostook County. Jacob Pelkey is with Aroostook County Tourism. He's developer for that organization. Thanks so much for calling in, Jacob.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to listen in on and see what everybody's perspective is. I've read reports that rural parts of Maine are seeing notable surges in tourism already. Is that what you've noticed in Aroostook County?
I have, especially over Memorial Day weekend. Some of the hotels that we work with were reporting really good bookings. And some of those bookings were folks who actually intended to travel to the coast, but they were piqued in their interest due to the rainy weather last weekend. They traveled to Aroostook County, but I think a lot of that is the American traveler, their consideration for traveling to rural places is at the highest it's been. So they're searching for these areas, and we're really happy with what we're seeing this summer.
What are some of the popular destinations or activities that people are seeking out right now?
Well, one that comes to mind from a conversation this morning is the Allegash Wilderness Waterway is really a multi-day trip, and it's a back wilderness experience. So naturally, it would do well during COVID, people looking to travel to a safe wilderness area. But you have to book your campsites in advance for that. And usually it's outfitted with a Maine guide. But what I'm hearing from the guides is that those campsites are sold out at this time, and they're not able to take any more reservations. So it's really great that we've filled up that experience so far. And I think that that's going to overflow to other parts of the region as those who wanted to travel the Allegash this summer might consider a similar experience.
Well, why don't I ask you to give us a tip then? If somebody has always dreamed of doing the Allegash and isn't able to this year, what might they consider in Aroostook County that they don't know about?
Well, another similar trip would be the St. John River. That's another overnight stay and backcountry paddling experience. But right through central Aroostook, we do have the Aroostook River, which is a long flat water, but it is quite popular for day trip paddlers. And so those who are coming up, maybe they're coming up for the Potato Blossom Festival and they still want to have that outdoors experience. Some of these other rivers provide a great experience for them.
All right. And is the Potato Blossom Festival happening this year?
Yes, it is. Oh, we're so excited. Some of the events that it's most earmarked, I guess, would be the mashed potato wrestling won't take place this year, but they'll still have the parade and a lot of the other events that we're known for. So we're looking forward to that.
That just may be the story of Maine this summer. We are not able to have the mashed potato wrestling at the Potato Blossom Festival because of COVID-19. Oh, my goodness. Thanks for making
it's
me smile.
It's a long-standing tradition.
Thanks for making me smile, Jacob. And before we let you go, how do you feel as though this surge in tourism will spill over into the economy of the region beyond the summer tourism season?
You know, Aroostook County does really well in our winter tourism season. You know, we have long winters. And this past winter, we did have a mild winter. But those people who came up, a lot of them were first-time visitors. So we're kind of seeing that spill over into the summer. They're going to come up and try the trails in summer with an ATV or a side-by-side. But I think that with this interest in traveling to rural places, people, they might have become aware of Aroostook County and what we have to offer through maybe some printed advertising or read some articles or were inspired by some photography. And now they're coming here this summer. And it's our hope that we can provide an awesome experience and really showcase ourselves with what we have to offer. So they'll consider making it a return visit in the years to come. And I think that's going to be a positive. It's always positive when you can get somebody for a first time experience. And then we hope that they become repeat visitors.
Well, Jacob Pelkey, thanks so much for calling in. Jacob is with Aroostook County Tourism. Matt, I asked him about the Potato Blossom Festival. I happen to know that other festivals are canceled. The Lobster Festival in Rockland. I believe the Wild Blueberry Festival is canceled. What can you tell us about what's happening and what's not happening this summer?
Yeah, I think I know that the Pride Festival.
Oh, shoot, Matt, you're canceled. Breaking up. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to a break, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to ask you again. Hopefully, we'll have better audio for you. Also, we'd love to hear from you in the audience. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet @MaineCalling, or post on Facebook or Instagram. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from New England Naturopathic Health, committed to treating the underlying causes of chronic disease. NaturopathicME.com. By Real Maine, a program of the Maine Bureau of Agriculture, featuring Maine-grown and made agricultural products. Learn more at realmaine.com. And by Fogtown Brewing Company, committed to cultivating community through craft beer and local food in Ellsworth and Bar Harbor and at fogtownbrewing.com.
I'm Robin Young. A new writing project for frontline workers pairs them with professionals to help them express the traumas of treating COVID through prose.
My gloved hand resting on a naked forearm in a meager attempt to bridge the chasm of the boundaries of our communication, trying to say it's going to be okay.
Next time, Here and Now.
Stay with us. Here and Now, upcoming shortly at 12 noon today here on Maine Public Radio. A reminder about our Maine's Political Pulse podcast and corresponding newsletter. Maine's Political Pulse is a weekly discussion on the politics here at home with our two top Maine Public News political reporters, Steve Missler and Mal Leary. The Political Pulse podcast and newsletter are both available online at mainepublic.org, and you can have the Political Pulse newsletter delivered straight to your inbox on Friday mornings by subscribing at mainepublic.org/pulse.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling, and today on the program, we're talking about Maine's tourism industry, challenges from the pandemic, and what the future holds. Joining me, Carrie Tripp with the Greater Bangor Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Matt Lewis with Hospitality Maine. You can join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page or Instagram. Calling us now is Phil Cronenthal. He is managing partner for Migas Hotel Group. Thanks for joining us, Phil.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer.
How many hotels, how many properties are in the Migas Hotel Group in Maine?
There are five properties in Maine, from the mid-coast to Sebago Lake region, down to the southern beaches as well.
What has the experience of your hotel group been during the pandemic, and what is it as you move forward? What are you looking at?
Well, like everyone in our industry, we were kind of blindsided by the pandemic, and then last summer, especially early on, was a scary time for us and for the families that work with us. And we were able to get through it, and actually had a very successful end to last summer in the fall. And this year we're looking forward to a great recovery. This summer, the pent-up demand and the folks that want to come up and experience what Maine has to offer, we're very excited and positive about what's to come.
Yeah, are you already pretty booked?
We are filling in nicely. I would say, you know, we track pace and how things book in, and we're 2 and 3 times ahead of where we normally are. And we're looking across the board to be better than 2019, which was a great year, or a best year for most in our industry.
I'm wondering if you're seeing any trends. Are you seeing any trends in the kinds of people, where they're coming from, what they're thinking about, what they're telling your staff when they come to your properties? Is it different than it used to be?
It's not different. I mean, we have a lot of new families and a lot of new visitors to Maine. I think that you know, it's regardless of whether people have a long history of coming to Maine or not, I think we've all spent a little too much time at home, so everybody's looking to get out.
That's for sure. Phil, thank you so much for calling in. That is Phil Cronenthal with the Migas Hotel Group. So many emails coming in. I want to get to a couple of them. Mary on Facebook writes, when dining out, please don't forget to be as generous as possible when tipping your wait staff. Theirs is one of the toughest jobs going, and a few dollars more for these hardworking folks will go a long way. So thank you for that tip, Mary. An email from someone on Peaks Island. 2020 was a year that residents finally got to enjoy a modicum of what Maine has to offer. The returning swarms of locust-like tourists force residents away from supporting their own state. Maine Calling interviews two pro-tourism industry promoters. There is no acknowledgement of the downside of tourism, whether there should be a limit to the influx of tourists. We see the negative effects of tourism on historic sites, fragile ecosystems, and famed cities. Why aren't we acknowledging the same damage here? So I'm going to ask you, Matt, and I hope your audio's back, to give us your pitch. Why is it worth it? Why ought we put up with these locust-like tourists coming to Maine, as our emailer puts it?
Well, I think those are some valid points, actually. I know there are many places that think there is over tourism, but Maine gets a significant amount of financial resource because of visitation to this state, as any state or country does. So, I mean, those dollars help pay for infrastructure and have helped fuel a lot of recovery efforts to businesses that provide food for families in Maine. So, I mean, I certainly understand that viewpoint, but I think overall visitation pluses outweigh the minuses.
A tweet here from a different perspective. With Maine's dependence on tourism, you'd think every elected official at every level would be screaming nonstop about building high-speed rail. Carrie and Matt, are you thumbs up or thumbs down for high-speed rail?
Oh, you know what? I actually like the idea of rail coming to Bangor. I think there's some challenges that are in front of us before it could come this far up into the state. But I think rail is something that is utilized by visitors in other states and other communities. And I think it's something that should be really looked at.
Wendy with Maine Balsam Fur Products, right? We have been making Maine balsam pillows for about 200 shops all over the country for 38 years, except for last year when we were 60% down in sales overall. We have enjoyed a lovely and predictable business. This year, so far, we are crazy busy. Total rebound from all over the country and especially our beloved home state of Maine. So happy for you, Wendy, at Maine Balsam Fur Products. And kind of an example of her business probably wouldn't be characterized as tourism, but people also are ordering a piece of Maine when they're ordering a balsam fur pillow. And perhaps it's because they are planning a trip to Maine or have taken a trip to Maine. A tweet. Having personally worked in the past for an inn restaurant, I know many motels, inns, and restaurants would hire people from countries that became banned from obtaining work visas under the Trump administration. What are we doing to get the bans lifted? This is a big one, Matt. What can you tell us about the status of the foreign workers who come to Maine most tourism seasons and really take some of the pressure off of the staffing shortages? Are we having any, some, not as many as usual, or is that still sort of in flux?
I can tell you that there are people on my staff, on people in the hospitality venue staffs that work diligently to try to get an upturn in visas for Maine. My colleague, Greg Dougal, works tirelessly to get increased visas into the state. I understand from a state restaurant call last week that 25,000 visas were approved, but that it's hard to tell what the chunk will be for. That's nationwide. But there were pretty heavy parameters on that, Jennifer. They had to be 65% of them had to be returning workers. They had to be from Golden Triangle countries. And there were some pretty heavy restrictions on it. So I think the viewpoint of Hospitality Maine is that we need to come up with solutions that are not only visa driven. We have to come up with some solutions that help so we're not having the same conversation next year at this time.
Yeah. And Carrie, I see you nodding. Have you heard about businesses that are coming up with creative solutions, hiring people, for example, that they might not have hired in years past?
I think that I am hearing stories of that, right? They're coming up with ways to work around other schedules, right? So there's folks out there that can work only certain times because of daycare. As Matt was pointing out earlier, daycare is an issue. Transportation is an issue, things along those lines. So people are being very creative with their scheduling, but that's also part of what's limiting some of the restaurants and other businesses from being open later hours that they normally would be open. So I think they're trying to be as flexible as they possibly can and look at folks who traditionally haven't worked in this industry but are willing to learn this industry. And, you know, maybe we're getting a whole new group of Mainers who want to learn about how important and vital hospitality is here and how much fun the industry is to actually work in.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I was in a restaurant a couple of weeks ago, and there was an advertisement in the women's room that said line cooks needed, no experience necessary. And that might not have been a sign you'd see a couple of years ago, correct?
That is absolutely correct. 2019, you wouldn't have seen that sign, right? And now it's just, it's hard to get people back once a place has been closed for so long. Some people have switched careers completely out of hospitality and tourism because there is a fear that what if this happens again, right? This industry, if you had asked me in 2019, I would have said, oh, this industry is bulletproof. My husband worked in this industry, I work in this industry, and my son worked in this industry. Mid-2020, I was the only one still employed in this industry. So there's that very real fear that this could happen again, and what do I do? So that's part of a problem that's happening right now.
Interesting. I want to turn back, Matt, to you and what we were talking about before the break. Now that we can hear you, tell me what you know about festivals. What festivals will be happening this summer, which will not be happening, and maybe which will be happening, but in a different way?
Well, I think part of the problem was a lot of festivals and their boards and the organizations decided to cancel before they knew what was going to be happening this summer. So I can tell you one interesting thing that's coming next week, and that's the Maine Wine Week. And that starts next Monday. And there's some fantastic, for people that like wine and restaurants, there's some fantastic opportunities with that. I know Little Giant and David's and Sir Lee are having special wine enhanced dinners, Cheval as well, through the week. So that's something that is happening and seems like it would be a lot of fun. I know Pride was, the Pride Festival in Portland was canceled, but I'm sure there'll be some events that center off of that. But the actual official Pride was canceled. So I think Belfast, when I was up there, they have some festivals that still hope to be happening this summer. So I would check tourism sites and stay abreast of that. But there are some things still happening.
All right. So we have just a few minutes left, and I'm going to ask both of you a question, and then I'm hoping we'll get in this quick little bit of time some other people making suggestions. We know about Acadia National Park. We know about Baxter State Park. We know about the Portland Museum of Art. We know about, we know about the Collins Center for the Arts. Why don't we get some tips from both of you on places that maybe don't get as much attention but are terrific destinations for those of us who live here and might look for some place to go if we have a couple days off or on a weekend. Carrie, give us a couple suggestions and tell us about why. And I'm sorry to put you on the spot. I might not have warned you I was going to do this.
No. I love talking about my region, so this is perfect, right? So there's a couple really great things right in Bangor. My most favorite one is the Orno Bog Walk. We send visitors there. We send residents there. We send Mainers there. You are in this peaceful place in the middle of Bangor and Orno that you just don't even realize that you're still in a city, right? So Orno Bog Walk is one of my
numbers. Orno Bog Walk, BOGWALK.
That is correct. It is phenomenal, Jennifer. It is phenomenal out there. Favorite place. Well,
what are you going to see if you go to the Bog Walk? I mean, obviously, you're in a bog, right?
You're in a bog. It's part of the old Pushaw Lake, right? Before it's what filled in with the Pushaw Lake. They have done, the University of Maine is part of who keeps that together. And they've done a phenomenal job with interpretive signage all the way through the bog. So you can learn about the flora, the fauna, the birds, the animals. It's beautiful out there. It's a mile walk from the parking lot all the way out to the bog, back around to your car. It's a mile walk. It is flat. Any ability can do this. Wheelchairs, canes, people that have some mobility issues, it is a wonderful opportunity. The other thing I'll say is we have two byways, one in Down East Acadia and one in the Millinocket region, right? Two national scenic byways that are stunning. And there's fun small businesses along both of those byways. It is an excellent opportunity for a couple of days worth of adventure in two regions of the state you wouldn't necessarily go to, right? The part of Down East Acadia that's not Bar Harbor and the island, really the Down East, right? And then the other one is just outside of Millinocket, and it encompasses the dark skies and the National Monument. So those are my two kind of, boom, there you go.
Good ones, Carrie. Matt, you've got to top that.
Yeah, good luck. Well, I lived in California for 30 years, so I'm a beach guy. So I'm scoping out new beaches all the time. So I mean, Reed State Beach is now by where I'm living. I think it's beautiful. I think Ogunquit Beach is lovely. Mother's Beach in Kennebunkport. So I'm finding new ones every day.
All right. And where have you been the last couple days in the heat?
Working.
No, you're not working from a beach. That's terrible. I was hoping people would quick come and tell us something, but we haven't had anything to add to that. What was they going to say? And Matt, you know, you were responding to the emailer who is frustrated by so many people coming to Maine. And the one thing we haven't had in this conversation so far is numbers. I know there have been reports talking about how much money tourism brings to the state of Maine. Do you happen to have that at your fingertips? Do you know what the estimates are of what part of the Maine economy tourism is?
I have numbers from 2018 and pre-pandemic, and those were about $700 million to the economy of Maine. So it's pretty dramatic. And it probably went up from that for the 2019 numbers. One thing that if I could say, Jennifer, I think is really important as we close out and we talk about this busy summer, there still are restaurants and hotels that are struggling right now, even if they have a successful summer. So I spoke with Commissioner Heather Johnson this morning about a piece of legislation called LD 1733, which would identify $80 million in relief funds for Maine businesses and for transportation. It's working its way through the Senate right now, and it needs two-thirds support to pass and then be signed from the governor. So it's an important part of legislation for additional revenue stream and savings for these companies. So if you would allow me just to put that out. Thank you.
Well, I will. And thank you both for being with us today. I hope we're talking later about what a terrific season it was, how it went smoothly, how people were safe, and how so many Maine businesses were able to rebound. Matt Lewis, President and CEO of Hospitality Maine, and Carrie Tripp, Executive Director of the Greater Bangor Convention and Visitors Bureau. Today's show is part of our ongoing series on Maine's evolving economy. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the labor market in Maine, unemployment and workforce challenges. Today's sound engineer, George Thomas, Jonathan Smith, and Cindy Hahn produce Maine Calling. On our website, the list of great books from last Friday's program. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.